Good morning. It's good to be with you all today. Oh, can everybody hear me okay? This is my first time wearing a mic. Do I sound okay? Everybody can hear? Okay. On the invitation for this study today, my lesson is listed as pain, suffering, and prayer. But more specifically, my topic that was requested by some of the ladies here is pain and suffering when it seems God is not answering our prayers. I've put a lot of thought into this topic, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to speak with you this morning, and I hope this lesson is helpful and beneficial to you. As most of you know, my husband Angelo was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer on January 1st, 2018. This cancer started in his lungs and metastasized in his bones, spread to his lymph nodes and esophagus, and also to his hip. His pain actually began a few months before that with severe pain across his shoulders and chest. Fervent prayers were made on his behalf from brethren all over the country continually. Angelo was a faithful servant of God and did much good in the kingdom. Yet in spite of all the prayers offered up to our God on his behalf by faithful brethren, Angelo died 1 year and 3 months after he was diagnosed. He was just 59 years old. A week from Monday marks the 1 year anniversary of his death. But I want you to know that even though God did not heal my husband, I do believe that he strengthened us, strengthened our faith. We grew spiritually stronger through life's challenges as we learned to trust more fully in God. I'm so pleased that my daughter Catherine is with us today, along with my newest grandson, Angelo, my husband's namesake, a gift from God and a comfort to my family. I know of others who are suffering right now in this very congregation. You may have loved ones who are suffering pain or other trials. You may know of faithful Christians who've passed away at a young age, on whose behalf prayers were offered to God, yet good brethren did not receive their requests of God. We're going to look at questions we might ask or doubts that may arise in our minds when we do not receive our requests from God. But before we do that, I'd like to start by reading Psalm 145, verses 14 to 21. This is a Psalm of David. I'll be using the ESV for most of this lesson. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You'll see on your handouts this verse typed out, and I've asked you to highlight or underline the following attributes of God that we see in these verses. So let's go through this again. Okay, so number one, go ahead and underline. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Number two, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Number three, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Number four, the Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. Number five, he fulfills the desire of all who fear him. And number six, the Lord preserves all who love him. Now let's look at Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. You'll find this typed out on your handout as well. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I'd like you to go ahead and underline on your handout the second half of that last verse we just read. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Let's look at a few more passages concerning prayer. And as we read these next four passages, I want you to ask yourself if you truly believe and trust these inspired words. No matter what trial you're going through, no matter how severely you or a loved one are suffering, do we truly trust these words? I've asked some of the ladies here to help read this morning, and we'll start with Carla Shover. She'll read Psalm 34, verse 15 and 17 to 19.
The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Okay, and Terry Lewis has Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll go ahead and read James 5, verse 16. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. I've actually chose the American Standard Version for this verse because it uses the word supplication. Your translation may use the word prayer, but I noticed in my studies that four other translations besides the ESV said the word was literally supplication here, which means an earnest pleading or humble begging. So in other words, the supplication or earnest pleading or humble begging of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And April Starr will read 1 John 5, verses 13 to 15.
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have for him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask from him.
One of the key phrases in this passage is, if we ask anything according to his will. In other words, our good thing or our request may not be his will for us. Are we willing to fully trust that he knows best and that he indeed hears us and loves us and cares for us? Will we go to him with thankful hearts no matter what trial we're going through, no matter if he grants our request or not? A great example of being thankful amidst trials is that of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. After they had been arrested and been brought before the council, they were beaten and were charged not to speak in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verses 41 through 42 reads, "Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ." In all of these verses, as well as many others that I did not list, we see how God is near to those who trust him, that he hears us and delivers us out of all our troubles, that he will give good things to those who ask him. Yet there are many biblical accounts of God's people suffering, even being put to death, and of petitions denied by God. As we read those verses, you may be thinking to yourself, well, why didn't he give me the desire of my heart when I petitioned him? Or why did he heal someone else I know and did not grant my request? Is God a liar? By no means. We know that God cannot lie. Let's look at Numbers 23, verse 19, and Amy Rafe will read that.
God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind.
in Titus 1 and verse 2, Jody has that.
In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time's eternal.
And there are some factors, however, that may hinder our prayers. We each need to examine ourselves and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. There are many scriptures that address our prayer life and what can affect our prayers being heard of God. We're not going to take the time to read the references in these next few minutes here. For now, let's just ask ourselves these questions as to what may hinder our prayers. Am I cherishing sin in my heart? Psalm 66, verse 18. Do I have an unforgiving heart? Mark 11, 25. Do I pray while doubting God? James 1, verses 5 through 8. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Matthew 6, 33. Do I pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Do I give thanks to God in all circumstances? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Of course, there are many other scriptures that we could look at as we examine our own spiritual relationship with God. But if you answered yes to any of those questions, I suggest you read these verses on your own and study so as to work on your prayer life. This could be a whole study in itself and not necessarily the focus of my talk today. So we're going to move on and look at some examples in God's Word of prayers answered and denied. There are plenty of examples of prayer requests that were granted by God. I've listed just a few on your handouts. You can probably think of others. Again, for time's sake, we'll not read these references, but we'll just go through these briefly. Abraham prayed, and God answered by healing King Abimelech's wife and female slaves and opening their wombs, as he had previously closed their wombs for the sake of Sarah, Abraham's wife, in Genesis 20, verses 1 to 18. Samson's final plea to God for strength to kill the Philistines, even though it would cause his own death as well, Judges 16, verses 28 to 30. Hannah, who was barren, prayed earnestly for a son, and God granted her petition, 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 to 17. King Hezekiah prayed after receiving the news that he was about to die, and God granted him 15 more years of life, 2 Kings chapters 19 and 20. Cornelius was not yet a Christian when God heard his prayer. As Cornelius was a devout man who feared God and prayed continually, Acts 10 verses 1 to 4, and as we know, God sent Peter to Cornelius to preach words to him by which he could be saved. There are many examples of where God denied prayer requests, and we'll look at just two for now. David, when his child, through his sinful relationship with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, was on his deathbed, 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 to 23, God had told David through Nathan the prophet that his son would die as a result of his sin. God forgave David his sin, but refused David's request to heal his son. Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, let's read this together in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. We can learn much from Paul's attitude when he did not receive his request from God. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." In this passage, Paul refers to the surpassing greatness of the revelations, which he received some 14 years previously. He writes about this earlier in the chapter in verse 2. So we do not know for sure if he received this thorn in the flesh at the time of the revelation and that he'd been suffering with it for the past 14 years, or exactly when he was given this thorn, but we do know that God denied his request. God gave his answer directly to Paul. We do not have that luxury today, so in a sense, we need to have more faith and trust in God. As Jesus said in John 20, verse 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Even though God does not speak to us directly today, we are blessed with his revealed word and can learn so much from our forefathers like King David and the Apostle Paul and so many others. Look at Paul's attitude when his request was denied. For the sake of Christ, he was content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. He continued to trust in the strength of God. We see his trusting attitude when he later wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. He says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's the secret. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, if we have the right focus, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Let's turn there. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. "If you, then, have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." When we are suffering pain or going through trials, it helps to keep the big picture in mind, our ultimate reward in heaven. This helped Angelo and I keep our focus on what was truly important and helped put everything else into perspective. Now, let's look at Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. For the purpose of this study today, I've decided to put this prayer of Jesus into another category all its own, as I'm not convinced whether God granted Jesus' request or denied it. I'll explain what I mean in a minute. In Matthew's account in chapter 26, Jesus tells Peter and the two sons of Zebedee in verse 38, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." He went a little further from them, then fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And verse 42 reads, "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" He prayed three times. Luke's account tells us that Jesus, being in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. During my preparation for this lesson, I came to hear of another way of viewing what Jesus was asking God, the Father, in this prayer. I have always believed that he was asking, if it be possible, and in accordance with the Father's will, that he not have to experience this cup of suffering on the cross. But he was willing, regardless, to do the will of the Father. Well, just a few days ago, I came to learn that there may be another way of viewing what Jesus was asking, and that is that he may have been asking for it to pass quickly or not linger. If that's the case, then God granted Jesus' request. As we see in John 19, verses 31 to 37, when Jesus was on the cross, that the soldiers came by to break the legs of the men on the cross, so that they would die before the Sabbath day. They broke the legs of the two other men, but when they came to Jesus, they saw that he had already died. So they pierced his side. In John 19, verse 36, it reads, "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'Not one of his bones will be broken.' And another scripture says, 'They will look on him whom they have pierced.'" So on the one hand, God denied Jesus' request to let this cup of suffering pass from him, or God answered his request and that Jesus died quickly. I've heard both views from respected preachers and teachers, and I'm not prepared to say one way or the other which view is correct, as I'd like to study this further. But for the purpose of our study today, I want to focus on the courage that Jesus had and his willingness to trust in the Father even in the midst of suffering. The Hebrew writer gives us more insight into the sacrifice of Christ and encourages us to keep our eyes on our ultimate reward. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, and Carol Funes will read this for us. Praise God for his wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus our Lord. It is much easier to run a race when you're feeling great and things are going smoothly in your life. But when you're experiencing pain and suffering and various trials, that may be a time when your faith is put to the test. You do not want to give Satan the upper hand. He would love for you to doubt God, blame God, and ultimately deny God. At times like this, when we are suffering, that's when we need to trust God even more and rely on him. Even if he doesn't grant our request for healing. You know the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, thanks be to God, we do not have to endure on our own. We do not have to get going on our own. He will help us. God will strengthen you spiritually to run with endurance if we have the proper mindset, like Paul who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Courage is not easy or comfortable. But if we set our minds on things above and keep the big picture in mind, our ultimate reward, it puts everything else into perspective. Then we can run this spiritual race of endurance with God's help. He will not do it for us. We have to do our part. We need to put on the whole armor of God, as is described in Ephesians chapter 6. And we need to wear it at all times, lest our adversary, the devil, take advantage of our weakness. And we need to continue in prayer and approach God with humility and reverence and be thankful in all circumstances. Emma Andrews will read for us 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
We need to keep on keeping on. Continue in prayer, continue to walk with God, and be the best we can be in any aspect of our life. Even through sufferings, there's much to be thankful for. If we have our minds set on things above and remember all that God has done for us and be grateful. Angelo and I, all through his ordeal with cancer, would regularly count our blessings. There was so much to be thankful for. There are many times in our life together that we have full confidence that God answered our prayers and many ways we could see God working in our lives. I could write a book about it, and I might just do that someday, Lord willing. And I'm sure there are many times in your life where God answered your prayers. But with that in mind, are we only to be grateful when God grants our requests? Angelo and I dare not have that attitude. As I said before, he and I grew stronger in our faith, and that's because we determined to trust God fully. We would think of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we applied the verse we read earlier in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, where it reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not saying this was easy, but even though God did not grant our request for healing, he did give us the strength to endure. And I'm confident that he kept his promise to receive Angelo into his heavenly abode. So my main objective with this lesson, and what I'd like to spend the remainder of our time on, is to talk about our attitude toward God when we do not receive our requests of him, and encourage us all to keep our focus on things above. We've spent some time on this already, but I want to delve a bit deeper and give some suggestions that will help us have the proper mindset through sufferings. Number one, draw strength and courage from the examples of suffering in the Bible. Look at Job. I think Job is one of the greatest examples of suffering. I imagine we're all familiar with the story of Job and how he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil, and yet God allowed Satan to wreak havoc in Job's life. I can't even imagine the depth of pain and suffering that he went through. Because of the testing of Satan, God allowed all of Job's livestock to be either carried away by raiders or destroyed by fire. All of his servants were killed except the ones that brought the news of destruction to Job. And then his 10 children were destroyed. I think most of us know brethren who've lost a child to a fatal accident or a disease. But can you imagine losing 10 children in one day? 7 sons and 3 daughters. Jen Gaudino, I wanted to just say that we can learn from Job's attitude after these things happened to him. As we'll see, Jen Gaudino will read Job 1, verses 20 to 22.
Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong.
And even after this, when Job lost his health and was plagued with boils all over his body, all he had left was his wife, who said to curse God and die, and his friends, who were trying to convince Job that he must have sinned, and that's why all this was happening to him. Now, I'm not going to speculate as to why God allowed Satan to do all this. I choose, like Job, to trust God, as we've established before, that we cannot fully comprehend the mind of God, and that, you know, but his ways are higher than our ways. But we know from his word that God is love, and we need to trust in this. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God later restores Job's health and fortune and blesses him with 10 more children. And we're told in Job 42, in verse 12, that the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. But this does not take away from the fact that he lost those first 10 children. That was hard for him, I'm sure. What about all the saints who were persecuted, being beaten, imprisoned, even put to death? Look at Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7, a man full of grace and power who was doing great wonders and signs among the people. He was stoned to death. The Apostle Paul later also was stoned to the point that he almost died. What about John the Baptist, the one sent to prepare the way for Christ? He was beheaded. Matthew 14, verses 1 to 12. One of my favorite verses is John 16 and verse 33. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." I find this scripture truly fascinating, as he said this to his disciples before his death on the cross. This speaks volumes of his faith and courage. as he had full confidence in what he was about to undertake. He is encouraging us to keep the big picture in mind. He overcame the world through his death and resurrection, and we can do the same if we remain faithful. As he also says to the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful unto death does not mean until you die. It means rather to the point of dying for what you believe. Sometimes we may wonder why bad things happen to good people and the unfaithful flourish. It helps me to remember a verse like Matthew 5 and verse 45, where it says, "For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." What about when another brother or sister in Christ received their request and are healed? But at the same time, we are suffering. We may become envious if we're not careful. In this case, it is good to remember what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Again, we need to trust that God knows best and continue to give him the honor he deserves no matter what we are going through. When we encounter difficult situations in life and experience trials, rather than let them frustrate and discourage us, we can let them make us stronger spiritually by feeding on the Word of God and trusting in him. LaDonna will read James 1, verses 2 to 4.
"Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing."
We cannot always control what happens to us, but we can always choose to control how we respond. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 2. "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." If we become discouraged while experiencing trials, if we're not careful, we may begin to doubt that God is still working. It's natural to feel discouraged at times, but that's when we really need to draw closer to God. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus established his kingdom, and we no longer have apostles and prophets. God no longer speaks to us directly. But again, that's where we need to not lose heart and doubt God is working, but trust in God. The fact that his inspired word has been preserved for us for mankind throughout the ages and is readily available is an amazing blessing. As of last year, the Bible is still the best-selling book of all time. So he still continues to speak to us through his word. When I said at the beginning of this lesson that Angelo's and my faith grew stronger through his bout with cancer, one factor is that we began reading the Bible together more frequently. He was so weak and had difficulty reading himself and concentrating, it was better for him to just listen. So I did our Bible reading out loud, and we read more often together. We prayed more, and as I said earlier, we counted our blessings. We also continued to look beyond our own suffering as much as possible and still strive to be useful in the kingdom. I'm fully convinced that God strengthened us as we put him first and trusted in him. I'd like to encourage all of us to regularly fuel up on the Word of God, our spiritual food. Another aspect of God that is comforting to me and reassures that he is still working is the fact that we can still observe his rainbow in the sky. And that shows that he keeps his promises. Natalie Bishop will read Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22.
While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.
She told me that's her favorite, one of her favorite verses, and I thought of her to read that because she has the berry farm, and I thought she would like that one, and I was right, she liked that one. God set these things in motion, and he allows nature to take its course in many ways. But I hope we all know that he has the power to manipulate nature to suit his will. But again, whether he grants our request or not, it is our job to trust him. Let's choose to go all in each day with a purpose greater than ourselves. Romans 8 and verse 18 reads, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." In conclusion, I would like to submit to you that our God is still at work. He loves us and cares for us. Let us put our trust in him completely. Let us praise his holy name in all circumstances. Let us remember all he has done for us and be grateful. I will close with two scriptures that will encourage us to keep our lives here on earth in perspective and keep our focus on the big picture. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." This lesson was challenging for me to work on as I grieve the loss of my husband. I miss him dearly, and when anyone loses a loved one, it is hard and it's sad. But working on this lesson was a good reminder to me to look beyond myself and be useful in the kingdom. There is much more that could be said on the subject of pain, suffering, and prayer. My main focus was to look at our attitude toward God. But certainly, we can also look to our brethren for strength and support when we're going through trials, but we'll have to save that for another lesson. I hope that what I've shared here this morning has been beneficial to you. During Angelo's final days, I came across this anonymous poem that I thought appropriate. "God did not promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, nor sun without rain. But he has promised strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way." I meant to put that poem on your handouts, and I forgot until I printed like almost all of them, and then the last few I put it on. If anybody would like, I can always send you a copy of that. Thank you all so much for your kind attention and patience, and thanks to all those who helped read scripture today. We have a few minutes if I can open this up for comments or questions, if anybody has anything. Okay, thank you very much.